September 19th, 2000. The question today has to do with the afterlife. We would like to know when we pass through the doors of death from this illusion to the next. What happens then? Are we able to go on to another location and accomplish other work? If so, what would that be? Do we still have contact with our loved ones? And can they become aware of this? Is there any kind of communication that is possible? We would appreciate anything that Chloe would have to say to give us information about the next step after we go through this life and are ready for that.
We are those of the principle known to you as the Kul. We greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator in whose service we are. And we thank you for bringing us to your group this day. It is a precious thing for us to be called to a circle of seeking such as your own. As we gaze and open our hearts to those who take part in this circle, we experience great gratitude and a feeling of tremendous blessing for the beauty of each of you, your vibration, your hopes, and your dreams is stunning to us. And your desire to know the truth is so inspiring to us. And it furnishes us with that which we hope for more than anything, and that is an opportunity to serve in the way that we have hoped to serve, by sharing our thoughts with those who might wish to consider some alternative possibilities, thoughts, and opinions that we may have to offer from our standpoint and our experience. We certainly do not claim to be authorities of any kind, and we would only ask that each of you listen to what we have to say with a feeling for what resonates to you. Take those thoughts which seem to be to you a resource, an asset, and leave the rest behind. If you are able to use your discrimination, then we feel that we can speak to you without any infringement of free will. For truly, we do not wish to put a stumbling block before any. And we honor the free will and the discrimination of each. For each of you knows what is true for you. And you will recognize that truth when it comes to you. And it will ring a bell deep in your heart. Do not accept authority or facts that do not resonate, for although they may be interesting, they simply are not part of your personal and subjective path of seeking. This day, your question is about what happens when you, as a flesh, blood, bone, and sinew being, perish and go back into the earth from which the elements of your body have come. Certainly, it is a fair question, for you exist in what seems to be a flesh and blood, bone and sinew world. To the outward eye, there is little that suggests that there is anything beyond. The heat and the energy of physical existence. From the outward appearances of things, it would appear that life comes up from the what this instrument would call primeval ooze, flourishes for its season, as does the grass and the flowers, and then sinks back into the earth. And many are those entities who have lived and died with no other feelings than that this was the situation. It is our opinion that this is not at all the situation. From our standpoint, we would say that this apparently real physical illusion in which you experience the dance of life is in fact a most thoroughgoing illusion, and an illusion from the bottom up. We may make an inroad into this by saying that your own scientists are aware that the body which contains your consciousness and the chair upon which that body sits and the floor underneath that chair and the earth underneath that floor are all created of that which appears to be space, empty space. Matter itself has never been seen by your scientists, although they have seen the path of the energy made by those seeming particles which seemingly create energy fields. And by this we refer to your photons or your electrons. Beyond this model, which looks a great deal like the physical model of outer space with its far-flung stars, there is indeed no physicalness to the physical illusion, but rather a series of interpenetrating and hierarchical energy fields. The energy animating those fields is that which has the transcendent reality. The basis for this energy and the birthplace or spring of all that is that in which we greeted you, the love of the one infinite creator. For this love is as the logos that was referred to in that holy work which is called your Holy Bible by the one known as John, when this entity said, in the beginning was the logos, in the beginning was the word. This entity goes on to define this word as deity. But deity or God has developed connotations of great emotion. And instead, we would refer to that energy that created all that there is as love. For the Logos is the one great original thought that is love. Each star, each planet, each center of consciousness and each atom has as its heart the Logos. All things are love. All things are the one infinite creator in energy fields stepped down in order that experience might be gained by that which we would call the sub-logos. For each of you and each of us is a sub-logos, a part and portion of the Creator, indistinguishable from the stuff of the Creator. This is that of which each of you is created. And this is that which makes each of you a citizen not of time and space, not of beginnings and endings, but of eternity and infinity. This is your basic and continuing nature. The ones known as Bob and Don have spoken of the concept of these sub-logoi that each being is, having been created before time, space, or the beginning of the creation, as your scientists know it. And with this opinion, we would agree. We believe this is the way the creation is designed. The one known as Linda was speaking of the beating of the creation's heart, the explosion of experience from the Big Bang, and the eventual spiritual gravity that pulls together into one locus that is beyond time and space, all of the infinite reaches of creation. For the Creator has a heart that beats, and each of its beats is a full and complete creation. And in each creation, you as sub-creators set out as explorers and voyagers on another incredible adventure of incarnation after incarnation, beginning as elements, moving through experiences as animals and trees and plants of all kinds, until each comes to the experience of self-awareness. This is the crux at which each of you is now, that which we have called third density self-awareness. Up until this point, the evolution that you have experienced has been of body, of mind, and of emotion. And you are ready now, as you begin to contemplate graduation from third density to fourth density experience. You are ready to contemplate the further evolution of your mind and your spirit. When each physical entity comes into incarnation, It is as though the consciousness that is your essence chooses to make an intimate affiliation with what this instrument would call a grade 8. For each of you has the body of a fairly perilous grade 8. Each of you has the instincts, the mind, the inclinations, and the needs of this second density entity that is the animal that has agreed to carry you about and to help you make the decisions of your life. One challenge when you as a human being in third density come to consider the afterlife is that challenge of separating in thought that being which is the great ape with its basic instincts, preferences, and needs from that infinite and eternal consciousness which has entered into the body and which has worked and cooperated with the body and its mind in order to gain experience, to learn lessons, and to discover ways of being of service within this incarnation. What dies when you as a person die? That is perhaps the first large question. And we would say to you, it is the portion of yourself that you would call the body and the personality. For you see, when you came into incarnation, you could not bring the depth and richness of your spirit into a personality shell. For within the heart of your being, you are the creator, and you are therefore all that there is. Furthermore, as a citizen of eternity, you are not bound by time. So all of the subtleties and nuances of self that you have developed through the entire octave of densities of this creation have their shadow within your third density experience. You know things that are out of time. They rest in the depths of your subconscious roots of mind. And only the tiniest portion of this knowledge is able to come through that threshold of consciousness, which we have called the veil of forgetting, that keeps the conscious mind relatively unaware of the depths of the ocean of consciousness beneath the liman of awareness. In dreams and in visions, occasionally, a glimpse of eternity will come. And the one known as Linda was speaking of those times when the plan, the purpose, is very clear and is seen to be adequate, elegant, and simple. For the most part, however, those positive assets and what seem to be negative limitations of personality are carefully chosen from the great circle of your true being. so that you come into incarnation with a very decided set of preferences, limitations, talents, and abilities that you have chosen, perhaps because they would help you to learn those things which you felt you should learn, perhaps to help you pursue relationships which you felt would help you grow, and always to help you to manifest the gifts that you wished to share as a service within this incarnation. When it is time to release the flesh, the blood, the time, and the space, the question is, what survives? And because this particular instrument has had an experience where it died and then came back to life after 30 seconds of death, this instrument can say from sheer experience, consciousness survives. By this we mean that at or close to the physical death, the consciousness becomes aware that the physical body is becoming unviable. It has been linked throughout life to the physical body through what this instrument has called the silver cord. Consider this simply as that which tethers the soul or the spirit to a particular body. Now, at or close to physical death, this silver cord simply lets go. It may not immediately leave the body, especially if it is interested to see what may happen. Many are the spirits that choose to remain very close to the physical body until such time as all of those within that family, shall we say, have had the opportunity to express their grief and have some sort of farewell service. Often, the honored guest at a funeral is the deceased, for it simply cannot leave until it sees what everyone is wearing, how everyone is feeling, if everyone is all right. From the most frivolous to the most serious concern, there is that entire constellation or universe of feelings for these people that have been so dear and so loving for so long and have had so much shared history. But there comes the time, either at death or soon thereafter, when the consciousness becomes aware that it is time to move ahead. If it is an incarnational pause between two incarnations in third density, the next step is what this instrument would call the review of the incarnation. In other words, there will be someone who comes to greet, welcome, and guide that consciousness which has just moved into that metaphysical time-space, which is the environment for the light body which spirits have between incarnations. That guide may be a loved one close in the birth family, It may be a close friend. It may be a beloved entity such as Jesus, the Holy Spirit, or a favorite saint. It will be that entity which the Spirit most feels comfortable with. And with that help, the consciousness is taken to a comfortable place where she may watch what you could think of as a movie or a book with many pictures. For truly freed of the confines of time and space, it is possible to riffle through the pages of an incarnation fairly quickly, assessing the damage, assessing the need for healing before further work is undertaken, and then assessing what might be the goals of the next incarnation. Coming into this consideration are the relationships that have been experienced in the past incarnation and how they fell out as to balancing energies between two people. Other issues include what lessons might have been planned for the past incarnation and how those lessons were learned, and what service was planned for that incarnation and how that went. There is no judgment involved in this review. There is no blame assigned. If those things that were hoped to be accomplished were not, it is simply an evaluation process. After this initial process, if there has been healing that has been needed, then that will take place. In the inner planes of this planet, which each experiences between incarnations and third density, the environment is pretty much up to the consciousness that dwells within the inner planes and has experiences to undergo. For some spirits, healing will take place in what they conceive of as a hospital. Others will create for themselves a third density life with a job and so forth, and will have their healing done in a familiar environment of this kind. This healing process is very much under the free choice of the spirit that is undergoing the healing. For you see, each of you between incarnations has no veil of forgetting and is totally aware that he is part of the Creator. He is loved by the Creator, and he is love. Consequently, there is a gentleness and a charity to the way in which the self talks to the self between incarnations that you do not experience in the sometimes harsh criticisms that each levels at herself within incarnation. Ultimately, when the consciousness feels that it is healed and that it is ready to take up further learning and further service within third density, it moves into that portion of the inner planes where souls are being readied for incarnation. And again, with the aid of the higher self and any guides which the consciousness deems helpful, A plan for incarnation is a creative. The main lessons to be learned are set into place. The main relationships which the consciousness hopes to pursue are discussed with those other souls or spirits, and agreements are made. And choices are made as to what shall be placed into the personality shell in terms of talents and gifts to share within incarnation. And the process begins again. Because of the fact that there are those in this circle that are not going to have any more third density incarnations, we would mention briefly the graduation process from this density that each will go through at some point. We are aware that each has heard of ascensions and catastrophes and Armageddon and people having a global catastrophe in which the world as we know it ends. It is our opinion that this is not the way the creation will work, not among your people. It is our feeling that each of you will be ready for harvest, either after this incarnation or very shortly. Each of you now in this circle has the capacity to be graduated from third density. In fact, each of those dwelling upon your planet at this time has the ability to polarize either in service to self or in service to others to an extent that is harvestable to fourth density. What this means is that each of you earned this incarnation by your basic state of awareness coming into incarnation. Each of you is able, if you wish, to achieve graduation from third density upon the physical death. Now, the way this occurs begins very similarly to moving into the inner planes in which third density entities spend time between incarnations. There is the continuation of consciousness, and there is being met by the guides, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, those entities in which the consciousness has reposed trust. However, if the consciousness is enough aware of the possibility of harvest, it may, as soon as the review of the incarnation begins, ask to cut short all that lies between it and the steps of light. For there is a great hunger in many who are in incarnation upon planet Earth at this time to go home. Now, some would frame this going home as going to a higher density. Others would frame going home as simply being with the Creator. However, the mechanism for moving from third density into densities that are more fully packed with light is what this instrument has called the steps of light. This is not quite an accurate description, but it is as close as this instrument can come to expressing what we offer her. What we offer her is a vision of a walkway, a broad and beautiful path of light. The light along this path is most fastidiously guarded by entities which are extremely close to the one great original thought, yet which still have some individuality. These are what we would call seventh density entities. They make absolutely sure that the boundaries between the densities of third and fourth of light are precisely accurate, and that higher densities as well along this path are fastidiously accurately observed. The consciousness then, without seeing any boundaries or partitions in this light, is asked to walk along the path of light. When the entity gets to the place where the light is too much to bear, then that entity stops. The fullest amount of light that that entity can enjoy and work with defines the next density of that entity's experience. If it is third density, that entity will continue in third density. If it is fourth density, that entity will move into the inner planes of a fourth density planet and prepare to start a cycle of fourth density experience there. If the entity stops in fifth or sixth density, then that has become the native density of that entity. For that is the place where that entity can enjoy the experience of incarnation the most and can get the most out of it. Beneath, above, and surrounding all of these details of continued existence is the love and the light of the one infinite creator. Whether the next experience for each of you is in this density or in a higher density, the purpose of incarnation remains the same. Each of you is asked be yourself, for you are love. The great challenge is uncovering that love, freeing up that love, taking the pain and the suffering and the limitations away from the love that is in your heart. Each of you has not just a temporary identity in this lifetime. Within this lifetime, each of you is a citizen of eternity, and all that shall come to you is within your heart at this moment. So we ask each of you to rest, both in the love and the light of the one infinite creator, and in the circumstances of your flesh and bone and blood and sinew. For all of these circumstances shall pass, and yet that consciousness which is you. Shall be as it always has been. Loving and loved. Embracing and embraced by the one infinite creator, which is your source. We bow before the courage of you in third density, for you truly do dwell in a thick and heavy chemical illusion. And it is only by faith that you may hope and feel and know that all is well and that all will be well. We would at this time transfer this contact to the one known as Jim, thanking this instrument and leaving it in love and in light. We are those of Akua.
I am Kuo, and greet each again, in love and in light, through this instrument. At this time it is our privilege to offer ourselves in the attempt to speak to any further queries which those present may have for us. Is there another query at this time?
Then I'll ask one. There are many today from different densities, different worlds that are here helping with the ascension process of this planet currently. And of course, you've kindly joined us with your thoughts and ideas. So, how come you haven't decided to take a dive in the gene pool and try your hand at third density experience at this time?
I am Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, however. As a grouping of entities, we have done that which you now do, and move through those times of choosing the manner in which we would pursue our further evolution beyond third density. Thus we remember that which you now experience, and it is the axis upon which our creation turns, for we are those who have chosen to serve the Creator in all. For by so doing, we also advance ourselves, as the Creator learns from and teaches to the Creator. The Creator learns. There are also those of our grouping who take incarnation again in third density as those who serve as wanderers. I have a quote, and I'm again referencing Swami. We appreciate your patience. Is there another query at this time?
You said there were some of those, your group, that are acting as wanderers at this time. I'm curious, how are they doing and what are they doing?
I don't call. I am aware of your query, my brother. As one might expect, the range of success is large and small. For there are many who move into the third density illusion with the hope of serving not only by their presence and the lightening of the vibrations of the planetary sphere upon which they dwell, but there is also the hope that each will remember that which it came to do, the manner in which it came to serve. And in many cases, this is so. And there is great rejoicing at such service well rendered. Others there are who have the same difficulties as do those natives to the third density illusion, in that they become somewhat, shall we say, lost within the great heavy chemical illusion that is your world. They seek in circuitous manner, again and again, to penetrate the veil of forgetting, and yet are weighted down by the concerns and the worries of the world. And some become caught within the illusion and must move again through the great cycle of being, in order that in a future incarnation they may recapture that which was lost. And for some this might seem to be a situation in which there was sorrow at what seemed to be a failure in the service. And yet we say that there is no failure, for all service has its effect. The Creator learns from each entity that which is offered through the life experience. And there is an infinity of what you call time in which services may be offered. Thus, if one time does not produce the fruit, another season and another time shall surely do so. Is there another query?
No, thank you.
I am called, and we thank you, my brother. Is there another query at this time?
I would have a query. The feeling that in the physical universe there is a great amount of chaos and obviously the burning of the stars, in the apparently parallel spiritual universe it seems that we are seeing that it's trying to become very smooth and a continuum of smoothness. How do those two work?
I am aware of your query. That which to the eyes of third density seems to be chaotic is at another level of experience, that which has rhythm, motion, pattern. However, there are those mysteries for all created entities that go beyond the ability of mind, body, and spirit to penetrate. For though we are all of the one Creator, we never forget that the heart of the Creator is a mysterious love that has the power to create and to destroy that which we call universes, the very creation itself. So there is this movement of consciousness that is itself an infinite stream of being that may from time to time have ripples and eddies, and that kind of experience that seems to be chaotic. Yet, when those consciousnesses which perceive it are able to become one with it through their understanding of it, then that which appeared to be chaotic then appears to be what you call smooth and unified, harmonious, and able to be perceived in a fashion that is coherent. Is there another quiz, my brother?
I have a query. Is it possible that according to the laws of incarnation that we as at some point existed and met the loved ones that we have at the present plane of existence, and along those lines, is it possible to reunite ourselves with our loved ones in future incarnation?
I have a quote. I'm aware of your query, my brother. This is indeed so. There are groupings or clans, if you will, of entities who move as a group through incarnational experience after incarnational experience. The relationships varying from one experience to another, oftentimes with some of the grouping remaining in the inner planes of the planetary sphere, offering their assistance in an unseen manner as guides and angelic presences, only to take incarnation once again in yet another experience. So that as you move through this earthly experience, you may look about you to those who are your loved ones, those of your family, your friends, those of like mind and heart with whom you move in unison, and see those who have been with you for many, many incarnations and experiences upon not only this planetary sphere, but others as well. For the third density illusion, which is now coming to an end upon this planetary sphere, is but a brief moment in that which you call time. And there is no time limitation for the experience of the clans and groupings of consciousnesses that choose to move together for one reason or another in the seeking of the one creator. Is there another theory, my brother?
I have a query regarding the percentage or the increasing number of entities that are becoming aware of themselves and of our creation. Is it growing? Are we getting a more understanding throughout the world of this arrangement?
I'm aware of your creative method. We would agree in principle with that statement which you have made, though we would not use the word understanding, for, as we mentioned previously, especially for those within this third density illusion, there is little that is understood, yet there is much that is desired to be understood. And it is that heart which desires to know the One Creator, that heart which sees the One Creator in the friend, in the family, in the stranger, and in the mirror, that is open to the graduation and the harvest that now beckons into fourth density. It is not what one knows or thinks one knows that will achieve the harvest, but it is the desire to know, the desire to serve, and the desire to be the one creator. Is there another query?
I have a query. In the various religious books of the varying established religions, there seems to point to a future where there is sort of a nirvana, but none of them seem to be the same kind of nirvana. Could these things exist parallel to each other at the same time, one without the knowledge of the other?
I don't quite remember where it appeared, my brother. The various terms that have been used in the many religions and spiritual practices upon your planetary sphere refer to various levels of experience in which union with the Creator is sought, and for a brief time, as it is measured, is achieved. However, we would suggest that it is more the case that various cultures and religions have formed their own descriptive terms and phraseologies to reflect these levels of experience that each shares with the other, so that it is much like various languages having a word for this or that experience, in which the experience is the same, yet the word or the phrase is different. It is a matter of perspective and experience within a culture that determines how the various steps of realization may be called or named. Is there another query?
I have a query. As mentioned, the harvesting of maybe the third density's entities moving into the fourth, is there any way to explain or to throw some light on the experiences that might be had in the fourth density, or what new and different purposes might be entertained in that density?
I'm quite aware of your query. Though words fail to give a clear description of that which is beyond words, we will attempt to speak to this subject. Within the fourth density experience, the veil of forgetting that is so important within third density is removed. For no longer is there the need to make the choice of how to pursue learning and service further, the choice having been made in third density. Without the veil of forgetting, the experience of each entity is much broadened and intensified. For if you can imagine the ability to know the mind of another and to share that mind and the abilities in that mind and multiply that ability by the number of entities within the culture, within the race, and within the planet, then one may begin to approximate the kind of consciousness that one may call a planetary, that one may share with all others. For at this level of experience, in the density of understanding and love, there is no desire to hide any portion of the self from another. There is the desire, in fact, to join with others and point the needle of the compass, if you will, in one direction, in the direction of seeking and serving and becoming the one creator. Thus, entities within the fourth density illusion undertake the intensive learning of what it is to have complete compassion, understanding, mercy, forgiveness, and that which you call love. For at this level of experience, the individual identity willingly blends with those of like mind and heart in the seeking and serving of the one creator. Thus, the experience within the fourth density illusion is far more harmonious than that within the third density illusion, where the choice of polarity is made in the fires of experience. As the soul is tempered in these fires, then it is able to join with others of similar temper, who also seek the One in a similar fashion. The need for words, therefore, of a spoken nature, is not necessary unless chosen. The communication is more of what you would call the telepathic nature, but more than that which we do now, which is a word-by-word or concept-by-concept kind of communication. The communication in fourth density is more of what you would call the gestalt, where an entire experience or picture with many thousands or millions of components may be transmitted instantaneously. And true understanding achieved, there is no miscommunication at this level of experience. Thus, the harmony is most notable. However, since the harmony is most notable, and it is undeniable that the One Creator is at the heart of all, evolutionary experience is somewhat slowed in comparison to that which is possible within your third density illusion. Thus it is many of the fourth density seek to be of service to others by joining again the third density illusion as those who are called wanderers and who seek with the great heart of compassion to share the love they know and have found within all creation with those who call for this kind of experience. Is there another query?
A query, changing the subject, is there a short, or maybe not so short, description of time and how it is understood by various entities?
I don't quote. I am aware of your query. Again, we seek with words to do more than words can do, yet we will attempt to give you this description as one which would be likened unto a river, where time is seen as that which moves in a unified fashion, and yet moves within no boundaries of experience, which moves with a smaller influence, shall we say, being seen as more of an addition to experience rather than the nature of experience playing out from point A to B. Entities outside of the realm of time may look at time as being somewhat of a relic. However, there is the experience and appreciation of true simultaneity, where entities may move into an experience of a certain kind of time for a certain intensity of experience until the experience is gained. Entities may, in fact, partake in various levels of time, so that they may experience what you would see as the past before experiencing that which you see as the future. We realize that this term time and our description of it is somewhat confusing. We hope that our humble words have been able to elucidate in some small degree the nature of your creed.
Thank you for that description.
We are most grateful to you as well, my brother, and would ask at this time if there is a final query.
I got a query. Is it possible that planet Earth is being visited and has been visited by creatures from other parts of the galaxy or universe?
I don't know. And I'm aware of your query, my brother. This is indeed so, and has been for the entire, shall we say, lifetime of this planetary sphere, which includes that time before life as you know it began its cycle of experience here. There are those from all portions of the one creation who have been able to discipline their personalities to such a degree that they are able to move with unfettered tread throughout the one creation in what you would call zero time. For the creation is one being, and for those who have been able to master the disciplines, it is possible to move in thought from any portion of the one creation to any other portion of the same creation. At this time, we would like to thank each entity in this circle of seeking for inviting our presence here. It is a great honor and privilege for us to be able to join you in your circle when we are called, and we joyfully do so, again reminding each to take but those words and thoughts and humble opinions which we have offered that have meaning to you, leaving behind all others without a second thought. We are known to you as those of Quo, and we would take our leave of this instrument and this group at this time, leaving each as always in the love and ineffable light of the one infinite creator. Adonai, my friends.
Adonai.